everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, Canada. And this podcast is a place where I talk about all things kindergarten. I pick a topic for the week, and I share my thoughts, my ideas, my learning around that topic. Thank you so much for joining me again for another week of the podcast. I'm so excited that I've been able to put out this many podcast episodes and that people keep tuning in week after week. It just makes me so happy, and I'm really appreciative of everybody who listens to the podcast every time a new one comes out and sends me messages about it. I just want to thank you so much for joining me. Before I start this week's episode of the podcast, in case you're not following me over on my Instagram, I've been sharing a new product that I put out this past week that I'm really excited for. My teaching partner and I were talking about wanting something for students to practice their reading, decoding, comprehension skills during independent free choice centers. And so I came up with this silly sentence literacy activity where students have to pick a beginning of a sentence and the end of the sentence. They put it together. Once they read the sentence, they have to illustrate it, and they can get really silly because, you know, it's like they all have like a rhyming pair that they can go with. But if you can match them up with any other sentence ending, and all of them will still make sense and they become really silly. So I'm excited to see what my students do with it. You can differentiate it for your students. You can use it for small groups, whole group, independent literacy centers. Make a Silly Sentence is now available in my store. I'll link it in the show notes if this is something you want to check out. They're completely decodable, so they all use, there's 15 sentences. 12 of them use CVC words and some high frequency words. One of them uses a double E spelling pattern, so the long E sound spelling pattern. And then two of them use CVCE words. I was running out of CVC words that students could actually illustrate. So I just, to round out the number of sentences that I had, I added those three little extras just to make sure I had a full page of sentence starters and endings for you guys. But all 12 of the first sentences are CVC words and high frequency words that, you know, at this time of the year, most students would be able to decode and read by themselves. So it's just like a fun literacy center that works with your structured literacy instruction. Again, I'll link that in the show notes for you if you would like to check it out. But for this week's episode of the Creative Kindergarten Podcast, what I wanted to do was talk a little bit about what I do or what I leave for a supply educator that is coming into the building if I'm away for the day. Sometimes I take half days, so maybe they're there for the morning or just for the afternoon. But I wanted to talk about what I leave for that person just to make their days a little bit easier. So let's hop into this week's podcast episode. First of all, I am an early childhood educator, as I said in the intro. I'm not a teacher. So my expectations for what I have to leave for a supply coming in for the day to replace me if I'm out sick or whatever for the day is probably much different from what the expectations are for a teacher. And I'm in Ontario, Canada, so the expectations might be much different from somebody in the States. So take this with not a grain of salt, but like take my recommendations alongside what your work duties or your work situation wants you to do. So if your school board or your district says that you have to have certain things available for a supply, make sure you do those as well. I'm just going to talk generally about some of the things that I do for a supply that's coming in. The expectations for me as an early childhood educator from my school board is that there are no expectations. Technically, I don't even think I have to leave my schedule for a supply ECE to come in. So there is no like job expectation around what I leave for a supply educator or a supply ECE that is coming into the classroom. But because I have supplied in the past and I know how difficult of a job that is coming into an unknown, possibly an unknown school if you've never been to that school before, an unknown classroom with an unknown teaching partner with an unknown set of students, I like to alleviate some of that stress, some of that unknown by leaving a little folder with some just some things to help them get through the day. I know that that helped me a lot when I was supplying. One time I did go to a school to supply. It was like an emergency one. I was working actually at the school board, but they were so short supply educators that I was supplying at that time in different schools. And I went to a school and we didn't have a schedule for the ECE I was supplying for in the classroom. And the teacher didn't really know, her teaching partner didn't really know when she was supposed to take her lunch, if she was supposed to take it while the kids were eating or while the kids were outside. And I ended up taking my lunch at the wrong time, which threw off all the schedules of all the other ECEs that worked in the school building. And I felt really bad about that. So having just basically a schedule would have been really nice. And so to alleviate that stress, I leave a little pink binder. And if this is something that you're interested in having, not necessarily a copy of, but like a template for it, please let me know. And I can work on adding that to maybe my blog as like a freebie or something, if that's something that generates enough interest. But I'll kind of walk through what I include in my little pink folder for any supplies that come into the classroom. I keep calling my pink folder. I think that's important because I made sure I grabbed the folder that was like super bright pink, because then if I'm away for the day, usually I take it out, and if I know I'm going to be away, and I put it out on a table so that the supply can see it and know that it's there. But if it's like an emergency and I didn't know I was going to be away the next day, when I put in for my supply, I can say, look for the pink folder, and it's bright enough that when they look at the shelf, they'll be able to see that it's there. Or if my teaching partner is there, she knows that she's able to grab it and put it out for me. So I pick the color on purpose to be one that really stands out so that it's easy to see and easy to grab in case I ever do need to put in so many directions in for a supply that's coming in that they can really see what it is. But the first page is just kind of a welcome and school information page. I put in the name of the school, and I also give the name of the principal and the vice principal and the secretary so that they have an idea of who's in the school in case they need anything. I also put the phone number and the address for the school. If there's ever an emergency and they need, like, God forbid, they need to call 911 or they need to call emergency services or they need the address for some reason, it's right there for them and they're able to just grab that and be able to give that information. I also like to make sure I'm leaving the phone number because I know whenever I have to call families, nobody ever answers their phone for whatever reason. And if I leave a message, I always like to leave the phone number for the school so that the parents can actually call us back. So I also leave the phone number there in case they need anything. So the first page just includes school information so that the supply, if ever they need anybody's name, a phone number, an address, whatever, it's right at the front page for them. The next page, I include student information. This might be a student, you know, that either has an IEP or just, you know, needs a little bit of extra support in the classroom. I keep it very asset-based, but I also give tips for maybe if a child needs a little bit more support throughout the day. So if they are nonverbal, I will put that in there that they're nonverbal, but that they respond very well to visuals or they respond very well to gestures or whatever it might be, so that they have an understanding of how to communicate and how to make that child's day successful. I don't do that for every child. I just do that with any child that, you know, might have exceptionalities that just might need to be highlighted just to make sure that they can have a successful day with that student. I also include pictures of the student. I find that super helpful. If you just put a name out there, if the student is not able to communicate, they might not be able to communicate their name either or respond to their name. So putting a picture there is really helpful so that the supply educator has an idea of which student you're talking about and will be able to keep an eye out for them during the day. On that page as well, I put any known allergies that might be in the class. Again, I'll attach a picture of the child and I'll say if they have any allergies, like any EpiPens or anything like that in the classroom. Again, this is for the safety of the child, just so that, you know, I know walking into a classroom, you never know what you could be walking into. And so having some visuals and some support for making sure students, again, are successful throughout the day and are kept safe is perfect and is really helpful for that supply educator. The next page I include information about fire drills. Our school does have fire drill like information. We have like a whole packet of information about fire drills with lots of information in it. And I highly encourage you, if you're a supply educator going into a building, to make sure you understand any kind of lockdown or fire drill information that that school might have. But just in case they are not looking at that information, I just have a quick little page just explaining if there is a fire drill, what they should do and where they should go. So that, you know, if that were to happen, they have an understanding and they're not caught in the moment, unaware of where to take the children for a fire drill. And so that's the next page. Then I have some information about dismissal. There's like three different ways students can be dismissed at our school at the end of the day. We don't have any buses or else there would be four. So this is difficult, especially if, like, you know, every once in a while, my teaching partner and I could be both out for the day, which would make it very difficult at dismissal time to figure out where every child is supposed to go. So what I do is I have a list of how each student gets home at the end of the day. So what I do is I have a list of how each student gets home at the end of the day. We have what's called kiss and ride, where they're picked up by a family member in a car or in a vehicle. We have students that walk, and then we have students that go to before and after school childcare programming. So I just list out who goes where, because all of these kids go to different areas in our kindergarten yard. And so I just list it out so that they can call each child and be able to dismiss them in the right area. We also have children that go home for lunch to eat. And so I include pictures and names of the kids that are picked up at lunch by family members to go home and eat. Again, just to make everybody's lives easier. We don't want parents, you know, having to ask for their child and then the supplies, not really knowing if the child should be leaving or, you know, again, God forbid, a child gets picked up that shouldn't be picked up. And so having an idea of who goes home at lunch and how children get home at the end of the day is really important for me, just for my own peace of mind as well. So I have a list of, you know, that routine that we have during our day. The last thing that I include, and this is probably one of the more important pieces, is I include a schedule of the day. So this includes like the educator's schedule. So when I have breaks, when I have lunch, all those kinds of things built into it. But then I also have a schedule of what the children's day looks like. So depending on the day of the cycle, when they have gym, library, art, whatever it might be, so that the supply, you know, has an idea of what's going on. Again, thinking back to when I didn't even know when I was supposed to take my lunch when I was supplying one day, having that schedule laid out for me. It also alleviates the burden on my teaching partner to have to constantly tell my supply where to go and what they should be doing at any given moment of the day. Having that schedule laid out for them should theoretically be something that they can look at and figure out what their day looks like. So that's what I include in my little supply folder, just the general information of the day to try to make their day go a bit smoother and the children's day go a little bit smoother as well. We also have a day plan that's always available in our classroom that the supplies can look at as well. And this just includes like what is happening throughout the day, what our morning meeting looks like, what center time looks like, all that kind of stuff. That day plan is always filled out by my teaching partner and I, so the supplies can always look at that. Again, because I'm an early childhood educator, the responsibilities of the role when there's a supply are different for me than they are for my teaching partner. I know that as teachers, I don't know if this is province-wide or if this is school board based, they need to have 3 days of emergency day plans always built in just in case they have to be away for 3 days. I do not have to have anything like that, but I also do make sure that we have supply plans at the end of the day with my teaching partner so that we can ensure that, you know, the kids can have a successful day. We always make sure that we have supply plans ready to go and our day plans are always filled out for that exact reason. At least a few days in advance, we always hope. And so, yeah, that is kind of what I have for my supply. There's always books lying around the classroom that they can always read for students as well. But on the flip side, when I was doing supply, as well as, you know, really wanting to have a schedule and an idea of what was happening throughout the day, I also came to the school prepared for like any eventuality. I packed some picture books that I could read in case I needed to, quote unquote, entertain the students. I also have a bunch of tools in my toolbox around, you know, being able to sing songs and being able to teach different concepts. So having some things in your back pocket coming into a school is always fantastic. You know, being able to sing a song, know how to, you know, get students to take calming breaths, being able to read a book. All those things are really important when you're going into supply in a classroom. You want to make sure that, you know, you are prepared and you're professional and that you are able to teach throughout the day, no matter, you know, if there is a schedule available, if there is a day plan clearly visible, whatever might be thrown at you, you're prepared for it. Being a supply is not easy all of the time, and so I know it is a difficult job, but being prepared and having things ready to go can be really helpful as well. If you are like a veteran supply teacher and you wish there were things that were included in supply plans or in supply binders or just in the classroom in general to make your life easier, and I didn't mention them in this podcast episode, please make sure you reach out to me. Again, I love making people's lives easier, and if it's something that I can easily add into my supply plans or into my classroom to make that easier on any supplies that come in, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. I know, and I know others would love to hear about that as well. And if that supply binder, those pages that I was just talking about, you're interested in seeing them or having a template for them, please reach out. Let me know over on my Instagram at Creative Kindergarten Blog on TBT. I'll link it in the show notes for you. Make sure you reach out. Let me know that that is something that you'd like me to add maybe to the resource library over on my blog. And yeah, let me know. What are your thoughts? What do you leave for a supply? What do you think has been really successful in your classroom to make sure that, you know, students are successful when they have a supply teacher or a supply educator coming in? What are your tips and tricks if you're a supply educator? What do you keep in your back pocket? Let us know over on my Instagram. Again, I want to thank you so much for joining me. And if you like listening to the podcast, make sure you are subscribed to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast on whatever platform you're listening on so that you know whenever I put out new episodes, which is usually every Tuesday. Again, thank you so much for joining me, and I will talk to you all next time. Bye!